We continue this shiur in Sichei Haran, the wise sayings of Rabbeinu Zohar. We are now up to paragraph Tesvot, Tesvim. Rabbeinu Zohar says something, and his words are hidden, a revelation of something so amazing, so intriguing, that it is worth everything. So just gain this information alone. A person would honestly say that if he was created, if he lived a whole lifetime, just to learn this one bit of information, it's worth being born. We're going to reveal it now. Take it from Benazal's words. Benazal says, Hashem created Chachma. Hashem created wisdom. That means that wisdom comes from Hashem. Of course, when Hashem gives, injects into a child that is born, into a human being, to a body, Hashem injects the five senses. He also injects wisdom, because a dead body has no life, has no thought. Machshava, thought and wisdom, come from Hashem. Rabbeinu Zohar says, what is this wisdom? How we define true wisdom? Yes, there is a very unusual statement, the Gemara. The Gemara says that, what would we seek the meaning of wisdom? From the person who was classified as the wisest of all men. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, the wisest of all men. What made him most wise? The Gemara says, because he knew languages. Knowing languages is no big feat. It's no big accomplishment. There are many Lahavdaglayim who know a lot of languages too. But he knew languages that were unique. He knew the languages of animals, languages of trees. Knowing these languages is a true wisdom. Why? What is so important if a person can talk to a cat, ask him what he had for breakfast? What could you learn from discussions with a cat? Or with birds? Something for the birds. Or still further, he was so wise, he knew the languages of trees. Knowing the language of the trees, he could speak to trees. The sound of the wind rustling through the leaves is actually the voice of the trees speaking. What kind of wisdom is it to know of these languages? Rabbeinu Zohar says, certainly it is a wisdom. It is the top, the peak of all wisdom. Peak of all wisdom is a person. In the first chapter of Rabbeinu Zohar's words, the person should be able to study everything that Hashem created, everything, not just human beings, but animals, birds, fish, trees, even non-organic, inanimate objects. Study everything and to be able to learn wisdom from these items. Look at an animal. See how the animal acts. Learn wisdom from that. The Gemara says we learn how to be immaculate from a cat. Cat teaches cleanliness. We learn how to be modest, how to be pure from a dove, a pigeon. A dove will never change its mate for another. It is devoted for life to its own mate. And so everything that exists can teach a human being wisdom. We learn wisdom from trees, the way the leaves grow, the fact that each one stays in its own territory. Each one derives nourishment from its own roots. It does not steal from the second one, and so on. So that everything that exists exudes wisdom and waits to be studied, learned from. The greatest wisdom is that person who can study these things and learn faith from Hashem, faith in Hashem, and learn to practice that which he derives. Now, the Rabbeinu Zohar says here that speaking about learning from animals, what could we learn in general from animals? Greatest wisdom is, and it's a difficult effort to achieve, is for a person to learn to be like an animal. What is so good about an animal? We speak about a person who is a boor, a person who is evil as acting like an animal. Yet here we say that the greatest maila, the highest achievement, is for a person to reach the level of an animal. In what way? Because an animal has no wisdom. An animal has no conceit. An animal is very simple. A person would act as simply as an animal does, with the simplicity, with the sincerity, with the simple devotion to Hashem, without looking for any tricks or any loopholes or any means of deviating from Hashem's commands, that's the greatest wisdom possible. Person to act like an animal, meaning with his pshitus, tlivus, that is the true chachma. This Abedal says, we find from these psukim. Pasuk says, Kail asher nosan Hashem chachma bohema. Those which Hashem gave chachma bohema in them. The word bohema has the same letters as behema. Hashem gave wisdom. What is that wisdom? That a person should be like an animal in its simple form. Therefore, the pasuk says, the Gemara tells us on this pasuk, Adam uvehema teshia Hashem. We had that in the Gemara Chul, if you recall. Hashem helps. Hashem helps and rescues man and animal. And the Gemara asks, why do we find these two close together? Hashem helps man and animal. Why put these together? The Gemara answers, Hashem helps those who are men, which means they are superior in wisdom, superior in brain power, but they act as though they were animals, meaning they are as modest, as humble, as though they had no brains whatsoever, as though they were an animal. This is the type of person Hashem helps. Of course, we can understand this well, what the Zohar Kodesh says, that note the words Adam and Behema are together. There is nothing to separate the two. Man, animal, nothing in between. A person is that close, where his humanity is as simple as that of an animal, then Teshia Hashem. Because that closeness means that he has heavenliness in him. The whole yichud of Hashem and the Shekhinah is found in this pasuk also. Adam ubehema, you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Mo, Shem Mo, because Yud Kei Vav Kei Bemiboy is Mo, 45, the Yematria Adam. The Malchus is Shem Bon, the Shem Bon, which is the Malchus, the Shekhinah, is Begimetria, born 52, Yematria Behemah. So Adam Behemah is the Shem Mo Ubon. That is the highest Yichud possible, which stands for Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah. Say, Shia Hashem, Hashem helps that person who fulfills this in a practical sense. To bring close Hashem and the Shekhinah means to bring close the mastery, the superiority of man with the simplicity of animal. This is the greatest yichud possible that a person can achieve. Then, Teishi Hashem, that person Hashem will help in all his needs. And this is the wisdom that Amenazel teaches us we can learn from Behemoth. You find further, Amenazel brings the pasuk, Vani bar v'lei edo, I am a person without knowledge. This is said by Asaph, one of the 10 composers of this Sefer Tehillim, Psalms of King David. I'm a person without knowledge, very simple, without knowledge. Behemos hayisa imach. I am an animal, like an animal, with you, Hashem. I deal with you like an animal. The sentence that means that behemos hayisa, when I am like an animal, when I am that simple and that humble, then imach, then I am with you. But should I attempt to demonstrate any bit of conceit, any bit of geus, then Hashem separates himself from the person. This, the Rebbeinu says, is the lesson to learn from animals. A person should be zechut to be like one, no matter how smart, how wise he is. Remember that you are really very infinitely small. And if you accept that humbleness, that simplicity, you are then assured of the assistance and blessings of Hashem. Next statement, the Rebbeinu says that a person is blessed, again, with a voice. Hashem blesses a person with chachma, wisdom, and a voice. We mentioned previously that if one studies carefully, he'll find there's a direct connection between each paragraph. Though they are different topics, they're directly connected. You have first the Inyan Abel speaks of Chachma, wisdom. Chachma is the upper level of the Sfidus. Then we come now to the voice, Zerampin. The six lower Sfidus are called a Ko. Hashem endows a person with a voice. There are different types of voices. Some people have soprano-type voices, some tenor, some bass, some very harsh voices, and some soft, melodious voices. All these types of voices are normal human type of voices. But when a person speaks not to a second human, he speaks to Hashem, he speaks to Hashem in tefillah and he prays to Hashem, then there is a different type of voice that is used, the koil tefillah, the voice of tefillah. In tefillah itself, there are different sects whose customs differ. We find that the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, Baal Shem Tov was the superior Rebbe of all the later Hasidic Rebbes, and yet, though he was one Rebbe, one teacher, his students differed in many instances. For one thing, some had the custom of davening very still, very quietly. The decorum was such you could hear a pin drop during the davening. Others, their custom was to raise their voices, to scream out to Hashem with all their might, all their power. Kol atzmeisai tamarna, every bone in my body helps to scream out. My voice screams out to Hashem, screams out for help, because I know how sick my soul is, how much help it needs. Therefore, I cry out to Hashem, help me, assist me, cure me. Now, this voice a person davens with, whether it is soft, whether it's very loud, this is the normal type of voice. A voice works through the larynx. It originates in the lungs. From the lung, it comes forth this power, the wind power, that goes through the larynx and emanates from the mouth, the hemoitsoyis apeh. Different sounds come from the tongue, the palate, the lips, the teeth, and the throat. This is Zayin Kodesh says, five origins of the different letters, the different sounds in the aleph base. Now this means that when the voice comes out, all these different parts are used to bring out the voice. But it originates from the lungs. Benadol says now that a person can cry or scream a very high-pitched sound, so high-pitched, no one can actually hear the sound. And yet, it is the loudest sound any person can humanly bring out. How does a person accomplish this loud scream, which is unheard? Of course, there are tubes in the lungs, symphonia sonea, and these tubes are connected with the larynx to the mouth. Therefore, when a person screams regularly, normally, the tubes bring out this wind power, and it comes out through the mouth, resulting in sound. But these tubes from the lungs also are connected in these tubes leading through the lung up to reaching into the brain. So instead of coming out from the mouth in sound, it goes directly up to the brain where no actual physical sound is heard, yet the brain can actually picture, imagine, and feel a scream that is louder than that which is normally heard. There is an actual scream felt by the brain, yet there's no sound heard by any person standing around one. So when a person has his bitterness, for example, he wants to speak to Hashem privately, private communion. Speaking to Hashem quietly, he doesn't feel aroused much, inspired much to daven. He feels so hurt with his present level, his present status, that he wants to cry out and scream with all his might to Hashem, but he's in public. It would be very embarrassing. And as the person could then scream through the brain, where his brain feels and hears this mighty sound of the scream, but no other person around him can hear this. This way he can give vent to his deepest heartfelt feelings with the loudest scream possible to Hashem and let out his frustrations, scream to Hashem, and yet not to be heard by anyone. This is a very healthy type of sound, type of scream, a soundless scream, which is very effective because in actuality, the man says, if you try, remember, you try to daven and you speak, say the words, you'll find that your mind wanders. Why? Because you cannot attach the mikasha, the machshava, to the dibur. Attach the brain, the mind, to the words you say. It's very difficult to hold tightly to what you're saying. Your mind is prone to wander off into different areas. Think about more pleasant items in davening. You find a shvanesra, for example. But if a person screams with the brain, he is then using the brain for the sake of the scream itself. He is employing the brain completely, and the brain does not wander off into different areas. But this way, a person can actually hold tightly to the words he's saying and concentrate much more truthfully, much more fully
on the actual tefillah, the prayer, he's saying kasha. This is a very healthy status in tefillah itself. Of course, we understand this too, just to take a moment out for the interpretation of Zayir Kodesh in a much higher level. You say that the letters of Hashem's name, Yud, K, Vav, K. Yud, K is Chachma Obina. Chachma Obina is the brain. Chachma is the wisdom, the upper level of brain. Vav, K, the last two letters. Vav is the Kail, the power of the voice. But K, Malchus is Didur, Malchus Peh. These four letters are four letters, yet Hashem is Echad, one. So if one can arise to a height where he understands that Hashem is one, that all four actually are integrated into one, into Echad, that person has reached a level that is unmatched, the most superior level possible. Yes, he actually brings this being, merging Hashem into one, Kaviyach. And this is called elevating Ze'ed Anpin. Ze'ed Anpin is Eilav HaChachma. Vav goes up to and becomes absorbed by Yud Kei the Chachma. And this is what the Rebbe Zal says, you mala the kol. The kol instead of through the mouth, the yichud with the mouth, with dibor, instead it goes up to Chachma, to the brain, to Machshava. Ze'ed Anpin Eilav HaChachma, that's why this kind of a voice is so much higher than the one that emanates from the mouth physically, because it's the kail, the mikusha to the machshoma. So the kail, which we said is kutch b'nech, which is shame more, the shame more now goes up to and becomes chachma. Chachma is kayach more. That the kayach, the power behind more, is the chachma, from which more is derived. And this is the true origin of this koil. The koil that comes from and is attached to the machshob, the koyach mor. The Rebbe Zal stresses, though, again, it is very important to note that if we were to ask which is the right path, we have these different customs. Ones who daven very silently, those who daven very loud, they put power into their davening. They exert a lot of pressure, a lot of energy. When they finish davening, they're soaked with the perspire because they put a lot of physical effort into it, which is the proper method. Beit also certainly we're speaking about now is fit for his Beididus only, or at most for Shemon Esrei. Because Shemon Esrei is called the Dino Balachash, silent tefillah where a person is not allowed to leave any sound out of his mouth. Esrei must be said completely silently. No sound should come from his mouth, even for his own ears to hear. He's not supposed to hear a sound himself, even if no one else has been in earshot. But the rest of the davening, up to Shemon Esrei, a person should daven tefillah b'kayach. Not to be lazy, not to sit back, but to daven, give vent to his voice. Let his voice praise Hashem. Kabed is Hashem, megirincha, from your throat, let your throat give forth the power of b'kayach of the koil. Benedal speaks next, going to the mitzvah of learning Torah. There are different ways of learning Torah also. A person who learns Torah sits down to learn, and he does it in a manner where he's just being yetzer. He has to fulfill an obligation, sits down very haphazardly. He reads instead of learning deeply. He covers the necessary time and then closes the Gemara or Sefer. He's learning, he's finished. He doesn't learn with a vigor, with effort put into it, where he actually enjoys the work he's doing. This is called hasmada. Smada means to learn with an anticipation, anxiety, feeling. Hasmada in learning is derived from a person who understands the value of learning Torah. Rabbi Yehuda once spoke very strongly, reprimandingly, about the inyan of learning Torah with hasmada. He said to his Talmidim, why don't you learn Torah with kayach also? Put effort and energy into learning. What can you lose? Think. Think to your minds what kind of an investment this is. You're investing an hour's time into the study of Torah. This hour's time, learn with Hasmada. What do you have? For this learning, instead of spending the hour in dozing off or sleeping or doing something else, you're going to gain a little hub.
You can eat Gan Eden for this. Every word of Teda you learned, you have Gan Eden for it.
So think of the benefit, think of the reward, think of the profits you have from investment. You're investing an hour, at worst, the very worst, you'll have Gan Eden for it. That's the very worst. So at least you learn for the sake of profit. Go out and earn something. Earn for this hour a big chunk of Gan Eden. An hour's worth of Gan Eden. On the other hand, besides this, that's the least, besides this, if you relearn with Asmodan and you struggle and learn deeply, you're going to find an enjoyment, a pleasure in learning, a bliss that is not found in this entire world. There's nothing physical that can compare to the pleasure of learning a page of Gemara deeply and understanding its depth. To understand, to feel the pain of a kasha, something difficult in the Gemara question that first cannot be answered, then you struggle and struggle till you find the answer, and you enjoy the luxury of finding this kasha has dissipated. You now understand the answer for it. This pleasure is so great. What causes this pleasure? What's the origin of this pleasure? Zayin Kodesh says, this is called the ne'imus, the pleasantness of the Teda. But first you have menias. Menias means obstacles. You try to learn, there's an obstacle. You don't understand the translation, the interpretation, the logic in a state in the Gemara. That's menias, obstacles, barriers. And you struggle very hard, and you find this menias changes to ne'imus, to pleasantness. How? Because the Teda itself, Zayin Kodesh is like a kala, a bride, who was not yet married. But as a kala, she cannot have contact with the chas yet. So what she does, she stays in a closed room, and she is already taken, she's betrothed, she cannot be seen by other men, so she stays in that room, waits, while others pass by, womb stays closed. When a chasm passes by, she opens the door slightly for him to catch a glimpse of her, to enjoy seeing her for a moment, a fleeting moment. But this arouses in him a desire to see more of her. It gives him that pleasant sight, knowing what is in store for him ultimately. This is what the Teda does. Seek me out, the Teda says, and I'll open the door a drop. You'll understand, you'll see some of the beauty, the pleasantness of the Teda. If you continue to study the Teda, I'll open it completely, and you'll become the master of this bride. You become like a true chassidic kala, finally in wedlock, where all these secrets then are revealed. The Teda reveals of its own secrets, the Seder HaTeda, to those who work and struggle to make the Teda part of himself. This is the greatest reward the person can derive from the study of Teda. So not only does one get the Gan Eden reward that it's due ultimately for every word of Teda, but also the deep-seated pleasure, the bliss that comes with the study of Teda itself. A person enjoys every moment of going so deeply into Teda and seeing the endless depth of the wisdom of Teda. Bela says we see how important this is, how vital it is, because the Gemara says that Hashem himself, there is time created by Hashem. What does Hashem do during that time? The Gemara says that Hashem spends the time in the study of Teda himself. 3 hours every morning are devoted purely to the study of Teda. Kaviyoch, what is meant by Hashem studying Teda? We have that further explained in the Zayin Kodesh. Zayin Kodesh says that there are two heavenly yeshivas. We have yeshivas below, schools of learning, and in heaven there are also yeshivas. There is a yeshiva called Mesifta Didikia. Mesifta means a higher school of learning. Mesifta Didikia, the yeshiva of heaven. This yeshiva of heaven, you have the neshamas of tzaddikim and the heavenly angels study under the care. The dean of that yeshiva is the Moach Memtes. This Moach Memtes was the Reisha yeshiva of this Mesifta Didikia. There he elaborates upon the secrets of the Teda. There, the deepest questions are asked. At times, these questions are so difficult, there is no answer for them. What do they do when they have a question that cannot be answered, even by the Rosh Yeshiva himself, this great Malach Memtes, the master Rosh Yeshiva? Then they go to the higher yeshiva, which is called Mesifta Ilon, the heavenly yeshiva above, Yeshiva Av Hashem, all questions that are asked below that cannot be resolved are brought to the heavenly Yeshiva of Hashem. There they are answered. So we see then that what is done in heaven, the Torah is so great and so holy, the treasure of Hashem, even Hashem himself studies the Torah. So what can you do better than to occupy yourself with what Hashem does too? Hashem studies the Torah, his treasure. Why shouldn't you too study the Torah, spend time on it, and enjoy the pleasure of learning Torah besides the ultimate eternal reward in Gan Eden? This was the advice of Rav Elazar. In addition, Rav Elazar said there's a third item that a person gains. We know that there are certain mysteries found in Kabbalah. Kabbalah means heavenly secrets. Kabbalah means, for example, the geography of heaven, the different shapes and forms found in the heavens, the different levels of the heavens. Kabbalah means the tzidufim, the combinations of certain letters and certain words, certain geometric forms, certain numerals that form certain names, gematriyos. All these produce, ultimately, combinations that are very heavily and holy. The Baalei Kabbalah, the master of Kabbalah, was said to be able to perform miracles with this Kabbalah. We had a story recently where King David dug the Shittim into the depth, the waters beneath the earth, and then he reached a point where he removed the rock that covered the core of the earth. By removing it, the earth was about to become flooded. How to stop it? It required writing the name of Hashem, a certain name of Hashem, a certain combination that would control this flood. This was part of the sequence of Kabbalah. Or, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the Egyptian striking the Jew, the Torah says that he killed the Egyptian. What weapon did he use? He used the knowledge of Kabbalah by saying a certain name of Hashem, one of the Shem Ayin Beis, a three-lettered name we won't mention now, but everyone knows it already. Don't try to use it on your enemies. This three-lettered name had the power, the potency of actually killing this Egyptian. Now, this three-lettered name is part of the secrets of Kabbalah, which means that with these certain names, a person using each different name, or for instance, a certain name used by Eliyahu HaNavi, gave him the power of being able to travel at unusual speed through the air, to fly through the air faster than Superman, being able to reach destinations in a second in the dark without having to see. This was also the Shem used by the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov, right, Kvitzes HaDerech, the same name used by Yaakov Avinu, when he said, Vivka Rokim, he covered great distances in no time at all. Zol, by the use of the wisdom, the secrets of Kabbalah. Bezalel says, notes, the secrets of Kabbalah were first revealed in the time of the Arizal. They were revealed, of course, before that, the days of Rabbi Shimon Yechoy, Zalazere Kodesh, and before that, by Rabbi Akiva, Lazar Godlob, Yechma Zakei, and by Avram Avinu. But there was an era of hundreds of years between the time of the Tanoim or even the Ramban until the Arizal. During that time, the Chachmas HaKabbalah was completely hidden from anyone's knowledge. No one knew Kabbalah. And yet, despite that, there were tzaddikim who were so great they could perform the same miracles as those who did with the mastery of Kabbalah. How? What was their secret? Their secret was that they studied Torah so thoroughly, with such intent, with so much kavanah, that the power of the Torah itself was vested in them. They could perform miracles. Not Kabbalah at all, just the Torah itself. So a person learning Torah receives some of this power. For example, let's take a simple example. A person, for example, would sit down to study Torah. He'd concentrate without letting his mind wander for a second, for 2 hours, 3 hours straight. When he finished, he put his whole heart and soul into this. Then he went to daven. And in davening, he asked Hashem, give me parnasa, give me money, give me health, give me a cure. Because of the fact that he worked so hard,
struggled so hard in the study of Torah, he is now so filled with Kedusha, with holiness, that his tefillah will be answered, his prayer will be answered, and Hashem will grant his request, even if it's a form of miracle. So we see where the power of Torah is so great that a person today, too, study Torah, you have the ultimate reward in Gan Eden,
you have the fact that you're doing what Hashem himself, Kaviyachu, does, you have also the fact that this will help you to have your tefillahs, your prayers answered, even when a miracle is necessary. This is why Rabbi Dadel stressed so much the study of Torah in its simplest form. They got a Gemara, they got a Shulchan Aruch, they got any Sefer, but sit down and learn and devote your time with sincerity, with purity, without letting your mind wander during that time. Devote a special period of time. This is called Kvius. A Kvius Bateda, set aside this time, no matter how long or how short it is, but don't let that time be lost. In return, you have all the blessings mentioned by the Beinazal. Beinazal says, now note, nowadays, the Beinazal's time, and this, of course, is multiplied until now, you find that there is a new invention that came out then, known as the printing press, where until then, books, Sfarim, were written by hand. It was very difficult to spread many books, Sfarim. You had to write by hand, but best to copy in a crude form. To have thousands of Sfarim was a very difficult item. When the printing press came out, it was a blessing for Jews, because then they could have thousands of Sfarim. Each Jew could then own Sfarim. Each Jew could have a Shas, each Jew could have a Shulchan Aruch, he could have Chamashim, everything he needed. So the Lechus HaTfus, the magic of printing, was actually made, Gosazal says, for the sake of the Jew as a blessing. Because the Jew became weak as far as his memory was concerned, in the olden days, every Jew had this entire closet of Sfarim in his mind, in his brain, by heart. Then it became, they reached the point where the brain became much weaker. Today, try to put that in your head, you find it to be a practical impossibility. Because of that, you get to have it in print. You have to read it, and then try to get some of it in your head. So that's why the greatest blessing out was this invention of the printing press. Beinazal says that nowadays, in his time, and of course this refers to future too, in our time, we find that the printing of Sfarim has increased manyfold. They are printing Sfarim in such numbers that stagger the mind. And amazing how people buy Sfarim. You see this today too. If you go to any Jewish home, any religious Jewish home, you find that even though a person is not that well versed or that much of a scholar, you got a large library. Every Jewish home has a Shas, Chumashim, and commentaries, and Shulchan Aruch, plus Shalat HaTshuvos and different Jewish Sfarim. Some have even wall-to-wall libraries. Amazing how people buy so many Sfarim. Gosazal says this is very good, because you never know which Sefer you look into that will suddenly inspire you. One person might read a whole Sefer and find nothing that inspires him. He takes a different Sefer, and this suddenly is aroused to a new feeling of a fiery spirit to devotion to Hashem. Second person finds inspiration in the first Sefer. Each nature is different. So it's necessary to have all these Sfarim. Never to say, why are there so many Sfarim? It must be because you never know which Sefer will strike you or strike a second Jew to awaken you to a new desire to serve Hashem. Beinazal says, though, that what is the reason why subconsciously people buy so many Sfarim? Because the Gemara says, there'll come a time when the Torah will be forgotten from the Jews. The Torah will be forgotten, and if Torah is forgotten, of course, it's impossible to exist. You must have Torah to exist by. Because of this fear that it might be forgotten, therefore, to ensure its existence, people are buying Sfarim wildly. Make sure they don't forget this, the Torah they have in their home. Beinazal says this is a very serious mistake. Because what is the good of having all these Sfarim in your home if you don't study Torah? You don't learn it. The fact that it's in the closet will never penetrate to your mind. You want it in your mind. If you want to have Torah to be remembered, not forgotten, you've got to study Torah. Just keeping it in the closet alone is of no avail whatsoever. This is a universal error on the part of people who buy Sforim and figure by buying it, they now have, they now possess Torah. They don't possess Torah, they possess books, Sforim, but not Torah, not the knowledge of Torah. This takes actual study. This mistake is the mistake of Yanai, who made a fatal error. The Gemara says, he recalled the Gemara Kedushin, where Yanai wanted to take over he was king of the Jews, the second holy temple. He wanted to become the Kohen Gadol also, be both Melech and Kohen Gadol. The Chachamim, all the rabbis of the Gemara, protested against this, but he was still for a moment. But he had an advisor with him, a very evil person named Elazar ben Paida. And he turned to Yanai HaMelech, this evil advisor, and said to him, Yanai HaMelech, how are you so weak? You let these rabbis, this clergy, trample over you? Why don't you show them your superiority? So he said to this evil advisor, what can I do? So he said to the king, show that you're a king by putting every one of them to death. Kill every one of the rabbis of the Gemara. He accepted this evil advice foolishly, and he murdered every one of the rabbis of the Gemara except one, the Shimon the Shatach, who escaped. He was the brother of Yanai's wife. She hid him. And because he alone remained, that one person, or Shimon the Shatach alone, brought back the whole Torah to the Jews. Fortunately, he remained to bring back the Torah, because then there wasn't much printed. So the Gemara says that Yanai, before doing this, asked Elazar ben Paida, he said, if I kill the rabbis, what's going to happen to the Torah? This evil person is, no problem, the Torah is there in the closet. You have these Sforim, you have the Chumashim there, safe. Whoever wants it can come and learn it. The Gemara says this was his mistake, because what is the good of the Sforim there if a person doesn't study it? What is the good of the Chumashim there? You haven't got the rabbis to elaborate, to comment, and to bring out the secrets of the Gemara, the Talmud, the Torah Shebaal Peh. This was Yanai's error. This is the error of those people who buy a lot of Sforim, put it in their closet for show, but never bother to take it out and to study it. What is the good of a sefer if it lies in the closet, the book closet, the bookshelves, without being used? The Torah will be forgotten if it is not used. Buying it alone is not sufficient. A person who should, of course, buy Sforim, it's a mitzvah to buy Sforim, but then to use these Sforim constantly, study the Torah, because then he'll be assured that it will not be forgotten. His home will remain a home of Torah, despite the fact that there is this decree of the rabbi to be forgotten. This, of course, brings us back to Shimon Yechoi Zal's Avtocha. Yechoi Zal said, despite this harsh decree by the rabbis, the Gemara is saying, prediction that Torah will be forgotten eventually, I assure that Torah will always remain. Why? Because in the Schus of the Zayin HaKadosh, this will be the one light. Zayin means light. This will be the guiding light of the Torah will bring back all Torah to Jews. Privilege of being able to learn the secrets of the Zayin HaKadosh will be so great that it will bring about an appetite, a desire to learn much more Torah. We find today that those people who taste from the sweetness, the honey of Reb Shimon Yechoi Zal's words in the Zayin HaKadosh, they appreciate much more the sweetness of the words of Torah. There is a difference between Hasidim and the opposite. Benedal goes on further to say, the same topic, my strongest desire, Benedal said, is to be able to draw the magnetic power, to draw people, draw my students, to draw others to action. Action means not to be lazy, to go about, to exert energy, to study Torah. Simply to use their physical power in studying Torah. Sit down and struggle and work. Or the same thing applies to davening. We daven, put kayach, power into it. And the benefit here, the Benazal says, is you can get a person, a Jew who has fallen, chas v'shalom, into sin. Sometimes he's fallen to sin so badly that this sin becomes habit. And when sin becomes habit, this becomes nature. So that his actual nature is that he commits sins by force of habit and nature. The person does that, you cannot remove him from this nature. It's his nature itself. You can't stop a person from eating. So a person who has fallen that far, how do you cure a person's nature to commit sins? And else, the one cure is by the study of Torah, b'kviyus. You establish a set time to learn Torah, and by keeping this time sacred, never allow this time to go lost, you will find that this will be the key to remove a person from this nature and habit of sin. Because he eventually becomes so strong that he'll actually break his nature, break his habit, and go back to Kedusha, go into the habit and nature of mitzvahs rather than sins. Same thing, too, pertains to tefillah. A person who davens without any special tricks, without any special ruses, who davens simply, takes every word, simple translation, and puts his feeling into it, a person like that, too, can find that he'll break the shackles, the bonds, the chains that keep him tied to the wrong side of the track, to sin. By davening strongly with kayach, a person can free himself this slavery of sin, of the Yitzhara, the Satan, find himself now free to devote his time to serve Hashem. The key to learning Torah and davening, Abinadab says, the only key is to simcha. Person who has true simcha, who's always been simcha, never allows himself to go into depression of mind, that person can daven with much more purity, can learn Torah better, because simcha is a key to which a person can then speak to Hashem privately. His spiritedness is possible only through simcha. A person that has simcha, he can turn to Hashem then out of simcha and speak to Hashem with a broken heart. A broken heart still comes from simcha, because a broken heart means one that is pure, a person who feels happy over the fact that I can break my heart before Hashem and plead with Hashem. A person who has oxus, sadness, depression of mind, cannot daven with kabbalah. He can't speak to Hashem. His mind, his heart is clogged. So therefore, the key throughout is simcha. Beinadar says that simcha is the one means of getting close to Hashem. In addition, besides all the other facts, all the facts about the benefits of simcha, how great the mitzvah is, above all, Beinadar says a person who has always been simcha. Remember, a person who has always been simcha, the reward is that Hashem himself will guard that person against Chilul HaBris. Hashem will guard him and protect him to be Zecher Tikkun HaBris, which is the highest level a human being can reach. This can be done through Simcha, because with Simcha he is close to Hashem. This is the means of getting to Emunah, the means of actually attaching himself to Hashem, serving Hashem properly. This is the main item we should learn, because Rebbe Zal stress this point. Mitzvah gedel leis b'simcha Torah. It's a major mitzvah to be b'simcha always. This item we must take very strongly to heart. You cannot claim to accept the Rebbe Zal's words unless you prove by being b'simcha always. The key always is, are you b'simcha? Yes, it must be very strongly the affirmative. I am, because I believe in Rebbe Zal's words. You should be zecha b'yemis, truly, accept this advice of Rebbe Zal. Oh, that to be b'simcha always, and through simcha, to devote our time to the study of Torah, to daven Hashem with true kavana, and through simcha to be able to become b'nei chayin, free to really serve Hashem, fulfill all his mitzvahs, and to become a true nation of Hashem, and thereby be zecha to merit seeing this coming month of Nisan, the Geula Shleimu, the coming Mashiach Tikenu, may you make victory from Hedach, Amen.